On Thursday's front page, the spending showdown in Washington. Congressional leaders indicated they're making headway in budget negotiations. We'll look at the political risks the two sides are facing. Also, the weaknesses of the anti-Qaddafi rebels in Libya, and why Thailand exported 98% of its cassava chips to China, and why some experts say that was probably not a good idea. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story analyzes the budget showdown in Washington. The fight is partly about the balance of power. Times reporter Jeff Zeleny says it's a test of whether President Obama and the Democrats have regained their footing since the November elections, or whether House Speaker John Boehner is now calling the shots. For Mr. Obama, it's the clearest test yet of whether he can reposition himself as a more pragmatic leader. Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer tells us Boehner is trying to sell House Republicans on somewhat less than they want because he understands the risk of having history repeat itself.
Mr. Boehner is deeply aware of the pitfalls of a government shutdown that befell his predecessors, particularly Newt Gingrich in 1995. Mr. Boehner is completely aware how much that hurt the Republican Party and how long that damage lasted. Mr. Obama has made it clear that the $40 billion, which is reported to be the new bar that Mr. Boehner is looking to bring back to his caucus, it's probably not going to happen. Now what he has to do is go back to his members and say, look, you may not get the number that you want. You may not get all the policy riders, such as defunding Planned Parenthood or all abortion providers. But what you have is basically a philosophical victory. You've changed the conversation from how to spend in Washington to how to cut.
Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer. Thursday's front page says President Obama's national security team will get some new faces this year. Defense Secretary Robert Gates plans to retire. Admiral Mike Mullen's term as chairman of the Joint Chiefs expires in September. And Asia expert James Steinberg is also leaving. The president could use the vacancies to rethink the dynamics of the group. He'll be facing major decisions on Afghanistan and on Arab nations that have gotten rid of their longtime leaders. Libya's rebel military is not really a military at all. Times reporter C.J. Chivers says it's not well organized for the fight against Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's forces. The rebels have almost no communication equipment. There's no officer corps, and the soldiers don't know how to use the weapons they have. Most of them have only a few weeks of experience, and they're prone to panic. The mayor of Minamisoma, Japan, says he expected nothing when he issued a plea on YouTube to help his devastated city. He wasn't prepared for the response. Minamisoma was hit by the earthquake and the tsunami, and then residents were ordered to stay indoors because of radiation leaks from the crippled nuclear plant. 200,000 people have now watched the video. The city has gotten hundreds of boxes of food and supplies and truckloads of relief goods. Social networking sites can get police departments into trouble. A careless Facebook posting can endanger an officer's safety, and defense lawyers are looking for evidence to undermine police testimony. Last month, the Albuquerque Police Department in New Mexico announced a new policy for social networking sites after one officer jokingly listed his occupation on Facebook as human waste disposal. More and more crops are being diverted for biofuels. The starchy cassava plant is new to the list. It's an ingredient in tapioca pudding and ice cream and even paper. Last year, China imported 98% of the cassava chips from Thailand, and Thailand is the world's largest cassava exporter. Now some experts say it's time to slow down. They say the rush to green fuel development is raising prices, and that could mean hunger and political instability. Inside Thursday's Times, opposition forces in Ivory Coast blasted a bunker under strongman Laurent Gbagbo's official residence. He's holed up there. He refused demands from French and UN officials to leave. They wanted to take him alive for a possible trial. Wisconsin voters sent Republican Governor Scott Walker a message that they're unhappy with the way he pushed through a law restricting union rights. They elected a Democrat to Walker's old job as Milwaukee County Executive, and the Democrat in a Supreme Court race declared victory. The Republican incumbent had been favored, but the Democrat is about 200 votes ahead. The Obama administration announced it had won labor rights concessions from Colombia toward a trade deal. That put the White House two-thirds of the way toward finishing three trade agreements that Republicans want Congress to approve. The other two involve Panama and South Korea. Colombia is promising to expand protections for union leaders, to do more to enforce labor laws, and to hire nearly 500 labor inspectors. Thursday's Business Day section says Portugal is asking Europe for a bailout. The decision came after the Portuguese government was forced to pay significantly higher rates in order to sell more debt. By one recent estimate, Portugal will probably need about 75 billion euros, or $107 billion. But some experts say the total could end up 30% higher. Here in New York, State Senator Gregory Ball has scheduled a day-long hearing on terrorism preparedness. Muslim and interfaith groups are criticizing his plan to take testimony about the threat from radical Islam. They say the hearing could become a local version of one in Washington last month called by Congressman Peter King on what he calls the radicalization of American Muslims. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.